Today's scripture reading comes from the Gospel of Matthew. Immediately, he made the disciples get into a boat and go on ahead to the other side, while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but by this time the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost," and they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Douglas, and thank you, Bells. What a beautiful, beautiful piece to help settle us into worship today. So, if you are graduating this season, there is likely one question that you are hearing more than any other. What's next, right? It sounds like a polite question, but there's a lot packed into it. And if you don't have a clear answer yet, it's easy to feel like you're already behind, like everyone else got a map that you somehow missed. But the truth is, most of life doesn't feel like stepping out onto a clearly marked path. Most of life feels like getting into a boat in the dark with the wind already against you, knowing there is another side out there, but not seeing how you'll get there. That's where we find the disciples today in our gospel story from Matthew. They are not in trouble because they ignored God. They are in that boat because Jesus told them to go. He sends them out ahead of him, and by the time that night wears on, that little boat is being battered and blown by the wind and the rain, and they are far, far from land. That alone should shake one of our assumptions. Being exactly where God calls you to be does not always feel safe or clear. Sometimes following God feels like instability. Sometimes faith feels like being pushed farther than you would have chosen. That is true for graduates and for all of us. Jim Collins, professor and author of What Makes a Life, talks about the cliffs in our lives. Those events that suddenly change the path that we're on. Not all cliffs in life come with caps and gowns. Some of us are standing at transitions that we did not choose. A job that ended, a body that changed, a relationship that broke, a role we love that is no longer ours. Some of us are looking at the state of the world, the climate, our politics, war, violence, injustice, and wondering what it even means to live a life of faith in a time like this. Well, the disciples are doing exactly as they were told, and still the wind is against them. But then, something even stranger happens. Jesus comes toward them, walking on the water. You would think this would be comforting. Here he comes to save us, but they don't recognize him. They are terrified. They assume this figure in the storm is a threat, and they begin to wonder if they are characters in some kind of Netflix sci-fi thriller. And they misname the presence of God in their lives. In seasons of change and uncertainty, what Collins calls the fog, we don't just lose clarity about the future, we often misread what is right in front of us. An opportunity feels like a risk to avoid. A challenge feels like proof we are failing. A new path feels like losing ourselves. Sometimes the very place that God is drawing us toward is the place that scares us most. Then Peter, one of the disciples, opens his mouth, because Peter always opens his mouth. And while the others are gripping the side of the boat, trying not to throw up, which is what I would be doing, he announces, "Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water." And Jesus simply answers, "Come." That one word is the pivot of the whole scene. Because at that moment, Peter has a choice. Stay in the boat where it is still storming, still dangerous, but at least familiar, or step out toward Jesus into something that makes absolutely no sense. The boat, though, is not the problem. The boat has carried them through miles of water. It has held in other storms. It is where his friends are. It is what he understands. Most of us have boats like that. A school whose hallways feel like home. A team or a cast or a club that has become like a little family. A daily routine that has held quietly together our lives for some time. A role, parent, caregiver, worker, leader, that tells us who we are. For some of you graduates, Hamlin Church is one of those boats. You have grown up in these pews. You have found your way here along the journey. You have sung and prayed here, and also observed the lesser-known sacraments of late-night ghosts in the graveyard and sardines in this very sanctuary. You have eaten more than your share of cookies at coffee hour. And some of you, as a particularly large class going through, created what we called a particularly active group of kids and caused us to rethink entirely how Sunday school works. There were meetings, there were classroom management strategies enacted, and there was most definitely prayer. You did not slip quietly through this church. You changed it. Others of you joined later on in youth group or mission trips at family camp and certainly at the Hamlin Church dining hall, and you left your mark too. I am fairly certain that this particular graduating group of seniors could almost single-handedly run the dining hall. Thus, you are all automatic members of the dining hall committee for the rest of your lives. And yet still others have found their way here of their own accord, asking faithful questions with hearts open to the Spirit. You have not just received from this community, you have helped to shape it. But hear this, you are not graduating from a love that formed you. You are not leaving God behind at Hamlin Church. You are taking what has been planted in you here, faith and questions, a sense of service, a taste of community, and you are carrying it into new waters. The boat was never meant to be the destination. It was the place where you learned how to listen for that voice that can call you out onto the water. And for the parents and grandparents and all of us who love these graduates, this is not just their stepping out story. It is ours too. You have spent years steadying their steps. Now you are being asked to stay in the boat while they climb over the side. And you can't steer their course in the same way anymore. That is its own kind of cliff. You don't get to control the wind or walk the water for them, but your love still holds them. And your voice will remain one of the ways that God sounds in their lives when the wind picks up. So, on that dark and stormy night, Peter steps out. And for a moment, he actually walks on water. Not because he's become some kind of spiritual superhero, but because he is responding to the one who has called him. Then he does something very human. He notices the wind. He starts calculating the risk. This should not be working. And he begins to sink. But hear this, friends. Sinking is not the opposite of faith in this story. It is part of it. Because the moment that Peter begins to go under, he does the most faithful thing that he can do. He reaches out and cries, "Lord, save me." And immediately, Jesus reaches out his hand and catches him. No delay, no lecture forced, no "you should have thought about this," just a hand already extended in the middle of a storm. This is not a story about a God who stays on the shore and texts us instructions. It is a story about a God who steps into the same chaos we are in and refuses to let us sink alone. Which means that the goal of faith is not becoming the kind of person who will never sink, because you will. All of us do and have and continue to. The question is whether when the wind rises and you start to go under, you know where to reach. Jim Collins talks about the three realities we all face over and over again in the course of a life: cliffs, fog, and fire. Cliffs, again, are those major events that change your trajectory. Some you choose, like graduation or a move. Some you don't, like a loss or a diagnosis. Peter's cliff is that wild decision to swing his legs over the side of the boat and try something impossible. When you go over a cliff, you can't just go back to how things were. Fog is what so often comes after the cliff. The messy, confusing middle, when the old markers don't work anymore and you can't see very far ahead. Cliffs and fogs are often connected, but not always in neat ways. Some of us are in a fog with no obvious cliff behind it. Others are standing on a cliff and still feel strangely clear. God meets us in both. And then there is fire. That deeper drive that keeps you moving through the fog. Your sense of purpose, the energy to rebuild, the answer to the question, what will I choose to be responsible for with this one life that I've been given? From a Christian perspective, the fire is not just grit or personal ambition. It is vocation and grace. It is the Spirit of God at work in you, drawing you toward what is good and just and life-giving, nudging you to use your gifts for more than your own comfort. And it is fueled by love. by the presence of Christ who walks into the storms and reaches for sinking people, and by the very human ways that the presence shows up in the people who raised you, in the friends who know your stories, in communities like this that have prayed for you and taught you and fed you. That love is not background decoration. It is fuel. It carries you when your own energy runs out. It reminds you of who you are when you forget. It steadies you when everything feels uncertain. So, graduates, as you step out of the boat and into what's next, you are not stepping into perfect clarity or complete control. You are stepping into a life with cliffs and fog, days when you'll feel like you're walking on water and days when you'll feel like you're going under. In all of it, remember you are held more than you know. Held by a God who comes toward you in the storm, held by the love of family and friends, held by communities that will keep cheering you on. The invitation is not never sink. The invitation is keep stepping. And when you feel like you're sinking, reach. Trust that there is a hand already reaching back. And trust that the fire is more than your own effort. It is God at work in you, fed by God's love and the love of others. And that is not just for graduates. Every one of us is facing some mix of cliffs, fog, and deep water. Our calling is not to keep one another from ever falling, but to be a part of how God holds one another when we do. When life pushes us past the edge of what we know, off the cliff, into the fog, out of the boat, God's love meets us in the deep, reaches for us when we sink, and keeps the fire in us alive. Out of the boat, into what's next. Into deep water, yes, but never, ever alone, and always held in the love of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.